Okay, so, I guess, so I guess David didn't make it because of the snow, but he did dedicate tonight's shir in honor of his father's yahrzeit, Shlomo ben Shmuel Moshe, or maybe he will eventually get here through the snow. Suddenly got much faster. It was like I went in from Arab and it was light, and then, okay, so we will finish this today. That is my goal. We will do this. Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing Graf Shel Rei. So the Gemara here in Daf Lamed Vav introduced this notion of Graf Shel Rei. That while there is a concept of Mukta Machmas Mios, of things that are so disgusting that they become Mukta, because literally, right, Mukta, its definition, is separated from you, you separate it from yourself. So something which is disgusting, you do that too, and therefore it's Mukta. The exception is something which is so disgusting, classically, like the bedpan, which we've carved out an exception to, possibly, as Alan mentioned last week, as we'll see in some of the Rishonim, based on Kavod HaBriyot, possibly based on other things. But the Gemara says that we can't make a Graf Shel Rei L'chadchila. If it happens, right, you use the bathroom, now you have a bedpan, so fine. So then it is not Mokza. But it is, you can't L'chadchila do that, and that's why this position in the Gemara had said that you can't invite a non-Jew on Shabbos, because the wine at the bottom of the cup will become asur b'anal, become disgusting, so it'll be useless and disgusting, and you can't make it a Graf Shel Rei L'chadchila. We don't pasuk in that way, whether that's because we're just not worried about it in this particular case, or it has implications on Graf Shel Rei in general, the Gemara doesn't weigh in on. Okay, so the one thing we've just noted from the Ritva last week is that this discussion gets off the ground because we have two ways that something can become mukta. If something becomes mukta ben hashmashot, so then the status of mukta remains all of Shabbos, because migu diskatzoy ben hashmashot diskatzoy l'kula yoma. We're not dealing with that type of mukta. We're dealing with something, in this case, that becomes mukta on Shabbos. The guy drinks the wine, is leftovers at the bottom. Since it becomes mukta on Shabbos, it can become mukta, but it's a weaker level of mukta, which is why we're in the middle of this discussion. the Ra'a had argued that the reason that this mukta is possible is because we're dealing with a kli which is miyuchod liyayin. We're dealing with a wine glass, and therefore, at some level, it already anticipates the level of mukta. And that's what we're talking about. Okay, so we were up to number 9. And what we're going to do just till the end, like I said, the main sugya really is Daf Lamed Vav. But to set out the yesodos of this category of Graf Shel Rei, we'll try to do that now. So if we look at number 9, the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. It says, Av pishu kli, mikol makom hu bechlal mukza machmas gufo, mishum dimoyis harbe, vichomer mistam mukza machmas mius. Kaimel and Reish Simon shouldn't you de mutter de grafu ke'evim domayan. So Mishnah Berurah highlights the issue here, as we've already said, but he puts it very sharply. He says, even though we're dealing with a kli, we're dealing with a vessel, and normally vessels have use, and therefore they're not mukta, it is disgusting. And it is so disgusting that it becomes mukta machmas gufo, meaning something that intrinsically we don't want to have anything to do with, and therefore it's mukta. So it should be mukta machmas mius, but worse, because if something is normally disgusting and becomes mukta, something which is that disgusting, you really want to have nothing to do with, should be super mukta. And that should make it more than just mukta, just a kli, which is mukta machmas gufo. It should be mukta like efen vavon. There's no use at all. But the raklod sian mi makum shedarsham hetiru mishum kvodo. But we, despite the fact that this should be super mukta, we allow you to move it from the place where you live because of kvodo, probably kavod habrios, aval hachziran tzarech mayim da'az metaltlan al yedei mayim. But if you wanted to move it not out, but you wanted to move it back in, right? You want to bring it back in the house, then you need to, mayim just means you need to dilute it, so that it's not as disgusting, and then you can carry it because it's carrying both things, it's not as disgusting and the like. But the heter of what we call graf shel rei, what the Mishnah Berurah highlights is that it's not a sweeping heter. right? This is something which should be mukta machmas mios. It should be super mukta machmas mios. Since it should be super mukta machmas mios, and yet despite the fact that it's super mukta machmas mios, we permit it. It must be that we permit it only in limited circumstances, and right, it's a dispensation. It's really mukta, but we allow you to move it. But therefore, we only allow you to move it in one direction, meaning out. Right? If you need it back in, the heter doesn't apply.
You're talking about the classic.
So now we're talking about the classic case, graf shel rei, right? The actual bedpan.
But once you move it out and you dump it out, then it's still...
You don't dump it out, you move it. You just move it.
But that's logically, aren't they taking it out to dump it out?
They're just taking it out so it doesn't smell in your house. You're not taking it
back. And then you go outside and you put water in it and then it's okay.
So he said, if you want to move it back, so then you'd have to... Right, then you have to dilute it, then you have to do... But as long as it maintains its status as, you know, right, a full bedpan and a graf shel rei, it's a one-way head.
So you ought to do something which is muksa, to do something to it to make it not muksa? Is that what he
said? So this case is a little bit unique, right? This case is...
There aren't too many situations where you can make it something.
So that's, I mean, that's what becomes clear, is that graf shel rei is really the exception to all rules. And the real question, I mentioned this last week, the real question that we have to analyze is to what extent, the feeling you get from the Mishnah Berurah, but it's not clear whether this is true yet, is that graf shel rei is mukta with some heterim. The other possibility is that, even though it doesn't really make sense, right, it should be super mukta, but once we've allowed the certain heterim of graf shel rei, so now it becomes mukta l'chachila. Right, meaning it's not mukta, and that's really the question the posim grapple with, because it clearly is a case where it should be super mukta, but it isn't. So the question is it super mukta with certain dispensations because it's so bad, Chazal, because of kavod abrios or whatever, allowed you to move it, or once they allowed you to move it, they removed its status as mukta, or at least partially removed its status as mukta, or something like that.
If you're not emptying it, you're taking out the bedpan, you're not emptying it, you're adding water to it. So you've taken something that has...
Well, you're not normally moving. I mean, the classic case of graf shel rei is just it's in your living room or something,
and you
move
it out. Which makes sense. But his line where adding water to it, you can move it back in, makes no sense. Because right. All you're doing is you're diluting crack.
Right.
And so now you're taking what's super gruff...
Makes no sense.
Super bad.
Right.
I assume... Minor bad.
Right, so this case... I'm trying to remember where we're commenting already, Shinchas.
No, he's taking it out to dump it out. And once he's got it, why? What's to stop him from dumping it out? You're already holding it. What's the problem? Dumping it out.
So I am assuming...
At least that's the tachlis at that point.
I'm assuming that's what he's doing, too.
Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe that's what he's doing, he's dumping it out. Maybe that's what he's dumping out and cleaning
it.
Maybe it's something like that. But what he says is that, right, but then it wouldn't be as disgusting. That's the point, right? Once it's that point, so then...
And then he needs the water in it in order to bring it back in.
Right, I guess maybe that's what it is.
Because he might have to use the facility.
So I guess he's dumping it out.
Exactly.
Right, okay, right.
You still need it.
So, but at that point, it's not going to be as disgusting. But while it is a graf shel rei, so he says, right, very clearly... You get it out. You get it back in. So then, yeah, you clean it out. I guess, you clean it out. You dump it out. Whatever
you
do with
it. The question is, are you allowed to dump it out? So that's... we're inferring that you can.
I mean, I think once you move it out, I think you can. But I have to look... Right, I have to look back at it. I think it's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch a bit later. Okay. So we look at the Rajba here in 10. So Rajba writes as follows. This is the Ikel Medak. The Hadam and the Kaman, we Idach Perka. The Baya also recommend the Rapa. And Amar Lezil Amti Purayach Lahasam Geheith Lahavi Graf Shel Rei. So we saw that in Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara had been discussing the case of Graf Shel Rei. Abai told Rabba, look, why don't you bring your bed here, and then this object will be a Graf Shel Rei. Right? If you remember, we had seen this in Daf Lamed Vav. If you want to look back, right? We were in the middle of a discussion of, right? It's Vinochen Kli Tachat Adlach the Shabbos. So in the middle of a discussion of Graf Shel Rei, this is not the sugya and Lamed Aleph, this is sugya, this is a third sugya. I think it's Lamed Aleph, if I remember correctly. Where the case was, you had something which, right, if you want to move it, but you can't move a graf shel rei unless it's a graf shel rei, meaning unless it is actually bothering you, unless it actually creates a situation of extreme discomfort. So Abaye had suggested to Rabba at some point that he wanted to move something which you know, was disgusting, but it wasn't necessarily in a place where, I think it's not, I forget what this one is. It wasn't in a place where it was actually bothering him. So what Abai suggested is, why don't you bring your bed next to the Graf Shalrei? If you bring your bed next to the Graf Shalrei, so then you won't be able to sleep while the bedpan is there. And once you can't sleep in the bedpan in there, it's a classic case of Graf Shalrei, and then you move, right? The bedpan. That's basically the logic, right? You want to move it. Yeah, yeah, sure. So Ve'afik Yosef Abai Ve'kakashale V'chiosin Graf Shalrei L'chadchilon. He said to him, how could you do that? Oh no, sorry. Well, this is the one on Lamed Vav. And he challenged him. You can't do that because then you're creating a situation of Graf Shalrei Lachatchila, and you aren't allowed. You aren't allowed to do that. So Adahachi Vahachi Nafil Rechaya. In the meantime, the millstone had fallen down. Amar Tesili. Al da avre admar alma shari lemezel gabegi hechen have graf shalrei. In the meantime, thing falls down. He says, "Bring it to me." So what you see is that you are in fact allowed to do it under certain circumstances. You're allowed to actually move towards the graf shalrei, such that it will be a graf shalrei, and you'll be allowed to move it. So the Gemara, so the Rashba says that case where we allow it, right? Here, okay, let's look back at the Gemara Lamed Vav, right? Without the context, again, it's too confusing. The Gemara says the following, right? Tana. This was the last two dots before the Mishnah. Tana. In Nismalia Kli, we're talking about when water comes down the drain on Shabbos. So it falls into a Kli. So Tana. In Nismalia Kli, Shofech Veshonaveno Nimna. If it fills up with this rainwater from the roof, so then pour it out and it's not a problem. Be'rechai de Abaye. So the millstone of Abaye, the loaf. So Rashi says, "Hadelaf hayanofel arechayim shelo vayosin tit v'nimochem v'nei akshamim." It fell into his millstone. It was getting disgusting. It was starting to disintegrate. And they didn't have enough kelim to catch the water otherwise. So also made the Rabba. So he came to Rabba and Amrle zil aile lipurayach lahasam. You want to move it now, right? You don't want your millstone to stay here by the water, but you can't move it because it's, you know, wherever it is, like outside near the, or on the periphery of the house near the roof. Therefore, it's not actually bothering you that it's filling up with water. So what you should do is you should move your bed near it, and then, you know, you won't be able to sleep near this item, because if you sleep near this millstone just filling up with water, it'll be whatever, rancid water, and you won't be able to sleep, so it'll be a graf shalrei, and then you'll be allowed to move it away from the rainwater, which will save your millstone. So Yosef Abaye v'kakashale v'chiyosin graf shalrei l'chadchila. How can you do that, right? How are you supposed to do that? You're creating a situation of graf shalrei, right? L'chadchila, you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, adahachi, in the meantime, nafal b'rechaye, d'abaye, in the meantime, it fell. So, Amar Tesili de Avre Admar. Sarashi says Tivuni Zos Bischarish Avarti Al Divrei Rebbe. Right, this happened because I violated what my Rebbe had said, meaning because my Rebbe had said that I'm allowed to, in this case, create Graf Shalrei Lechatchila. I didn't listen to him. Right, he told me that I had a solution. I had a way of saving my millstone. I didn't do it, and therefore it broke because I didn't listen to my Rebbe. So the Rashba says, okay, so why is it that in that Gemara, the conclusion seems to be pretty clearly that you are allowed to create Graf Shalrei Lechatchila, right? That was the whole Machlokes. But then Abaye says he gets punished because he didn't listen to his Rebbe and save his millstone by using this trick of Osin Graf Shalrei Lechatchila. And in our Gemara, the Gemara says you can't use Graf Shalrei Lechatchila. So the Rashba answers, V'yish Lomer, the Shiny Hasim Dika Pseida. The answer is, Andaf Lamed Vav, there was loss. It was, if there's loss, we allow you. Here, there's no loss. Right here, there's no loss to not invite the Goyan Shabbos and not create the Graf Shalrei in the cup. There, the water was already dripping onto the millstone. And if you don't do something about it, it's going to be destroyed. And similarly, Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, when he made his Graf Shel Rei, he made these seeds that would fall, and they would become disgusting, and he would throw them, which is the case in Shabbos. And there again, he would create a situation of Graf Shel Rei. So Rashba says the reason it was mutter in that case, because it wasn't Lechatchila. He couldn't take it yesterday because he hadn't eaten the fruit yet. Right, the seeds come from the fruit. He couldn't have made the situation Graf Shel Rei right before Shabbos. He couldn't have avoided the situation. If he's eating the fruit, he's going to create the situation, and therefore it's mutter. Now, what the Rashba highlights between the first and second Gemara that we have is that when we say Ein Osin Graf Shel Rei Lechatchila, what do we mean Lechatchila? So there's a principle we have in general in Halacha, which is Kol Shasadchak Kibidiyevidami. Right, lechatchila can mean one of two things. Lechatchila can mean time-wise, right? Meaning you shouldn't create this situation, but post facto, it's permitted to avail yourself of whatever happened. The other one, lechatchila b'yefed, means is, are we in an ideal situation or not an ideal situation? So we paskin that kol shasatchak kibidiyevid dami, that whenever you're in a bidiyevid situation, you can act as if it's post facto. So the Rashba highlights is that on Lamed Aleph, the question is, are you allowed to create something which will be a Graf Shel Rei? And we say, no. On Daf Lamed Vav, the reason we permit it is because even though you are creating a Graf Shel Rei, meaning you're moving your bed to be next to this rancid water such that it will transform into a Graf Shel Rei, it's still mutter because it's a B'dievet situation. There's Hefzid. Right, even though you're doing it, so to speak, right? You're choosing to move your bed there so that you will be bothered by the rancid water. You're only choosing to do that because if you don't do it, it'll be hefsid. Whenever there's hefsid involved, that's already as if it's b'dieved. And therefore, when we say in osin graf shel rei lechatchila, we mean either we rely on it once it's already become a graf shel rei, or if there's hefsid, then we can initiate a situation of graf shel rei.
What's the hefsid? By moving my bed next to it, I'm not going
to move. No, if you don't move your bed next to it, then you won't be able to move the millstone, and the millstone will break. Now, honestly, if it hadn't been for the Rashba, I could...
So if they just hefsid, that isn't sufficient.
Right. I mean, it has to be two things. It's once there's hefsid that allows you to create a situation on Graf Shel Rei, right? Because it's... Meaning it's... The principle is Enos and Graf Shel Rei Lechatchila. But because of Hefzid, it becomes a B'dievet situation. Once a B'dievet situation, you can move your bed. Then it becomes a Graf Shel Rei, and then it'll be mutter.
So this thing about Hefzid, Graf Shel Rei, is only by this situation or any type of muksa, a gufa?
It's not every type of muksa. Meaning, think about it. Muksa machmas kechisar and kiss is by definition mukta, which is hefsid, right? And we don't waive it for hefsid. That would be, you know, circular, right? Or self-defeating, really. Right, it's a mukta who's
so
very...
So why we do when
there's a loss of money? No. Mukta kiss is mukta that something is mukta because you're afraid that it'll be destroyed, and therefore you try to put it away. And therefore, on Shabbos, it is mukta, even if it's going to get destroyed.
But the guy who finds the money or in the street, so to speak, is entitled to kick it over and put it in a place where he can then retrieve it after Shabbos.
You can't move it.
You can't move it?
No.
And
if you have your, you know, the classic case of Mokhtam Machmas Karan Kes, like they always use the Moel's knife. I don't know why, the Moel's knife. Whatever, or surgeon's scalpel. Right, it's a, you know, the reason it's mukta is because it's chisar and kiss, because it's very expensive, and you don't normally use it, and therefore on Shabbos, if it's out somewhere in the middle of the room where you're afraid it's going to get destroyed, you can't move it because it's mukta machmas karan kiss. You can't.
But you can move tefillin if it's in a place where basically it's going to get destroyed.
But that's because of kavod of tefillin.
Well, okay, but
No, it's not because of chazar and kiss.
And even that, you have to do it a special way.
Right, we did that in Daf Yudalad. Yeah. Right, Yudalad Tezvav. But, right, there are certain muktzahs which are defined by chazar and kiss. But it's Graf Shel Rei, once you have this het there, So it's a bidyevet situation. You can create the bidyevet situation. I think you could also have distinguished. The Rashba didn't make this distinction, but you could also have distinguished in a different way, which was to say there's a difference between making the graf shalrei and something which is already becoming disgusting, making it that you are right around the object. Right? The two cases aren't exactly identical. The case in Andaf Chaf Aleph, you are choosing to make the object disgusting. On the case in Lamed Vav, you're not choosing to make the object disgusting. It's becoming disgusting. You're choosing to hang out next to the object such that it matters.
Tosfos says something.
Tosfos that says that. It's possible that I didn't, you know, that I saw it and then forgot who I'd seen it in. On Lamed Vav?
Lamed Vav, Lamed Vav.
It's okay. So I did see it somewhere, right? The Tosafot says something like that, right? The Tosafot says something along these lines, which is first possibility is Pseida. Second possibility is this isn't the same type of lechatchila, right? Even though the Gemara calls it Ein Osin Graf Shorei Lechatchila in both places. On Chaf Aleph, it means that you're making the thing disgusting. On Lamed Vav, it means it's becoming disgusting and you're choosing to hang out next to it such that you have a hetzer to move it. Those are two different cases, which is not quite the same with Chatchila. Okay, so I didn't just make it up. Either or I intuited Tosos and I didn't.
You didn't make it up, you're a very smart person.
One or the other. Right, or at least that seems to be the direction that Tosos is going in. What?
No.
There's a Gilgal of multiple people, right? All of the Baliatas, the other 100 and whatever they are. Okay. Okay. Fine. So now we turn to 11. So Meiri writes as follows. The Afal Pish Mesechas Brachos Pasachnu She'ena the Mosek Kol Tzracho Bipas Dafka. Did I put this from the wrong place? Yeah, maybe from an upper point, in which case we'll look at it anyways. Even though we saw in Brachos that she'ena the most called tzrachav bepas dafka b'davar mos, aval davar she'eno mos ose kol bo tzrachav. Yeah, this is from earlier. It just came out of place. Okay, so then we'll make a parenthesis and say this is going from before. Right, this is on the sometimes when I'm cutting the sources and putting them into two pages, so I cut them in the wrong direction. So this is just on the previous sugya, on the Agav sugya, where we noted that sometimes we allow you to move things on bread, and sometimes we don't allow you to do things on bread. So Tosa says, okay, Alpha Pishim Sechet Brachot Basaknu. Sheena the Mosek Kol Tzrachot Bepas, Dafka Bedavar Mos, Aladavar Sheena Mos, Oseh Bo Tzrachot Umetaltlo, Al Yado O Agav HaSholchan. The difference of cases is whether the thing is disgusting or not disgusting. If it's disgusting, we don't let you always do it with bread. If it's not disgusting, we do. But it wanted to teach you in context that you're allowed to use bread to carry things that are mukta but not disgusting. The Alpha Bisha Amru, I think I just put it here to emphasize that the mos, right, really creates mukta, right? What you see from even his dialogue is that even when we allow you the heter of pas, the more disgusting something is, the more usur it becomes. That highlights how much of a chiddush graf shalrei is, right? That even though the more disgusting something is normally, the more mukta it is, not only that it's more mukta, but we even remove other heterim, for some reason when we hit that line of graf shalrei, we start waving isurim. The afal bish amru lo amru kikar otinok el lemes bilvad, even though we say normally that you can only use it for the case of the dead person, that's only things that are totally useless, like rocks. But when there's a kli involved, so he said the difference between our Gemara and the case of the mace is that in our Gemara, in the end of the day, there is a need. Right, so if there's a need, it's a less mukta. Right, the more needed something is, the less mukta it is. So even if being needed for an animal doesn't make it not mukta at all, it makes it a lesser mukta, and therefore you can waive the yitzur with pas, which you can't normally. The yeshmo even the hachmir b'shitazu shlonemar ela b'kli shaisakta also machmas shemalachto leisur. And some people distinguish between cases of mukta shemalachto leisur avokli shaisakta also machmas isur atzmo. But if it's usher And some people say it depends on how mukta something is in the other direction. Right? One way of distinguishing between cases of mutter is, does it have any need or not? The other one is it usur because of an active malacha or not? And this was the distinction we already seen. What are you carrying? Are you carrying the usur object or the mutter object? Okay, so let's just move on from that. That was a hara from before. Okay, now in our case of the in the Gemara's case in Chaf Aleph of the Graf Shel Rei, so what we've seen so far is that it should be super muksa, but there's a het there. And maybe there's a different. Maybe we allow it when there's hefsid, or alternatively, we distinguish between cases where you choose to make it disgusting versus where it is disgusting and you choose to live near it such that you're allowed to move it. That's what we've seen so far. The Rashba then asks just a practical question on our case that's important to just note, which is, okay, but why don't you just, rinse out the cup? Right? I mean, what's the assumption here? That it's a graf shel rei, but why? Right? Meaning, graf shel rei, normally things that are mukta are not usable, but like, why can't you just rinse it?
So rinse it out without touching it.
Well, or why is it mukta if you could just rinse it? Right? That's really the Rashba's question. The Rashba's going to ask is, okay, the assumption is that, because, really, let's put it this way, right? A used plate is disgusting, right? It's just like, if you have guests over Friday night, and you know, who knows what you had on that plate, and someone else, and, you know, I don't know, make up the situation, we can come up with them, right? Your guest has, you know, a cold and was sneezing over the food. Like, you don't want to, you don't touch anything on the food. And yet, we all know that then you clear the dishes, right? You put it in the green bin, you rinse it off, and you can use it the next day. You can use it the next day if you, you know, don't use hot water, or if you already had hot water ready to clean the dishes, or whatever you did. Or, you know, you poskin, you can put your dishwasher on a timer, or whatever you, whatever situation come up with. Why is this mux at all? Right? The assumption here is that it's a graf shel rei, but why? Meaning, okay, it's disgusting, it's usur because of hana, but fine, you could rinse it off with cold water, and then it would be clean, and then it would be fine. Why is it a graf shel rei? Right? Graf shel rei makes it sound like, in its current state, like it's totally off limits. It's not. All it takes is a little bit of a rinse.
That's very different than the case of Lamabam, right?
You mean, because right, it's...
There it really smells and this...
Right, meaning this is like a formal graf shel rei, right? Like, it's usur behana'a, and therefore you can't use it, and therefore it's a graf shel rei. But if you just rinsed it, it's not like, the bedpan, it's not like you're using that as your plate, to, you know, later on today. Like, if you wanted to, it's disgusting, right? Like, it's just... This, how disgusting is it? It's a halachic, it's a formal halachic graf shel rei, because it's usur behana'a. So why don't you just rinse it? Or bring water and rinse it, I don't know.
How do you pick it up?
Well, I mean, that's part of the question, is why is it even usur to pick it up?
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, if it's so temporary that all it takes is a little bit of a rinse, yeah. Right? So why is it a graf shel rei at all? Just take it to your sink and rinse it, right?
I mean, no, but it's graf shel rei until you get it to the sink.
Well, maybe, or... But graf shel rei makes it sound like it's disgusting, you want to have nothing to do with it. This is not something you don't want to have anything to do with. It's something you want to wash.
Wine residue isn't any worse than leftovers from...
Well, that's my point exactly. That's his point. Is why is this... The assumption is that this is worse than leftovers because your plate, you're allowed to move. You don't want to use it now, but you're allowed to take it, clean it off, and use it again. But here, because it's usur bahana, you're not allowed to. But why? Just say you wash it off, and then it won't be a graf shel rei. So now it's a graf shel rei because it's usur bahana, you know, wine in it, but rinse it off and it won't.
The interpretation of the word graf shel rei in this case may be not correct in the sense that, I mean, it's not tummy, but that it's more like it's an impure, spiritual grace.
So that, that's really where the Rashba goes with this, right? So he says, El Shena Rashba's all. It's the Rashba quote in the Shidduch Gobetza. It doesn't appear quite as clearly. It's in the Avodas HaKodesh. It's not in the Chidushim. So I just gave you the summary from the, or the quote really, from the Shidduch Gobetza. He says like this. Shena Rashba's sober cane. Shikos of Avodas HaKodesh. Shikos Sheish Bo Shurin Shal Nachrem. Not all Bishabas. So the Rashba was so bothered by this problem that what did he do? He said, you're right, it's a problem, and therefore we don't paskin this way. Right? The answer that he came up with was, there is no answer. Right? The Raja was so bothered, and the Avodah Zakodesh, he said, yes, that we just, it's a dechia. It's a dechia. We don't pass in this way. Right? Koshi, Yeshua, Shir, and Shalom. Not till B'Shabbos, you're allowed to move it. That's the point. Right? The Gemara had assumed that it's a Graf Shel Rei. But the Rajma just looked at it and said, I just don't get it. The answer is, this is exactly like a dirty dish, and it must be, we just don't paskin like it. Period, end of story. Right? That's how much he was bothered by that.
So he can invite Goyim then.
On Shabbos. The Duke, and that's how we paskin. That is in fact how we paskin. You're allowed to invite Goyim on Shabbos. So Rajma said, yeah, the answer is, we don't paskin this way. Lufi divrei haravzal, Kevan demand shari lahazman is an argi b'Shabbos, shari nami letal tal ghost. And what was his analysis? Very simple. That the Gemara presents it as the only person who holds that this is a Graf Shel Rei is the person who forbids inviting Goyim on Shabbos. But we paskin it's mutter to invite Goyim on Shabbos, and therefore we must not paskin that this is a Graf Shel Rei. And that makes sense, because there's, we look at it and you're so bothered by the difference between the bedpan and the wine glass that you look at it and you say, they can't be the same. So we could come up with some fancy lambdas, and the Raja says, I don't care about any fancy lambdas. The answer is, there is no comparison, they just reject it. That's it, right? It's over, we don't paskin that way. Right, he says, therefore it's mutter, lazamenes and achavah Shabbos, sharing nami letal talakos, and mashir and lenarem, imkein mutter lahachar akos, b'vnei shenir kemediach. And they said, therefore you can be machshir the kos, right? Because it just looks like you're washing it. Shekein darkon shel madichen shnayim oshalosh peamim uknaminen madlin bli damim inishin nirek kidole. But from his rejection, you also see the opening to understand the other shita, right? Which is what Howie said, is the Rajba says, right, I think lahalacha it's mutter, because this is no different than your dirty dishes. But he swallows what he thinks the opposite position is, right? Which is that this isn't just cleaning dishes, this is a form of Hechsher Kelim. Because since you're not just cleaning dirty dishes, you're cleaning off something which is not kosher, which is Asur Bahana'a, there's a formal halachic status to rinsing, right? Because essentially, he says, one way of looking at cleaning these dishes is that you're cleaning the dishes. If you look at it from the vantage point of cleaning dishes, then in a chanami, the halacha would be that it's mutter, and that's the Rajba paskins. But he said there's another way of looking at it, which he swallows and rejects, which is that maybe you would have said that no, the reason this is a Graf Shel Rei, and that we look at it as if it's an unsolvable problem, is because this isn't just something disgusting, it's something which is halachically disgusting. It's treif, it's asur b'hanah mi'derabbanan, and therefore rinsing it isn't just rinsing, because the guy touched it.
So was it misaken?
Right, it's something like that. It's right. It's a form of hechsher. And because rinsing it off is not just washing your dishes, it's hechsher kalim. It's a quasi-hechsher kalim. So therefore, if in order to make this not disgusting, you need a formal halachic process of hechsher, maybe that's what the Shita and the Gemara held, that it is usur. Right? So the Rajba gives you both sides of the equation. Right? The Rajba swallows the explanation of our Gemara. That our Gemara, the reason that this is different than washing your dishes, according to the Shita that it is because since the wine is usur b'hana'a, the wine is stamienam. When you wash it, it's not mere washing, it's kashering. So therefore, you're not allowed to kasher on Shabbos. If you aren't allowed to kasher on Shabbos, then memela, you can't wash the dish. If you can't wash the glass, if you can't wash the glass, it remains disgusting. And therefore, it's a Graf Shel Rei. The Rajba thinks that's so implausible, la halacha, that he says that's the explanation for the Shita who holds it is a Graf Shel Rei. But that's the Shita who holds it's also to invite Goyim on Shabbos. We paskin it's mutter to invite Goyim on Shabbos. Since we paskin it's mutter to invite Goyim on Shabbos, it must be that we don't view washing the glass as full hechsher. We view it as washing your dishes. If we view it as washing your dishes, then this wine glass with a little bit of residue from the guy is no different than your dirty dishes Friday night, and therefore we paskin it's mutter. So he gives you both sides of the equation, paskening like the Mekia one, but telling you why the Shita and the Gemara was machmer.
Halacha, if you have stam yayin and you say, teach it, you know, some, like, you know, you have a non-mavushal wine and you give it to him and he touches it, what do you have to do with the coast? Just Rinse it out.
So you don't correct. You don't have to do anything. He just thinks that because the rinsing accomplishes something halachic. Right. Correct. You only have to rinse it. The question is, how do you view it? Is it just rinsing?
No.
Or the Raj would suggest.
I just want
to know. No, all you have to do is rinse it, right? You just have to rinse it out. Okay. And then he finishes.
You have to do it three times, no matter what.
I mean, not like a glass cup, but you just rinse it out, right? Like a.
I thought it would have to get.
Do you have to do it? I mean, maybe you have to wash it out three times? Maybe you do have to wash it. Because the Rajma swallows it also, right? He says, because some people, when they rinse their dishes, will rinse it out two or three times. So when you rinse it out three times.
You do agala.
Well, you don't have to do agala. It's cold. On a glass cup, would you have to rinse it three times? On a cheres, normally we say you have to do it three.
Sure.
I'd have to look back and do it. Because, glass cups don't absorb it all. You just rinse it, you rinse it out with soap. But
okay.
I think he's probably talking about something you do have to rinse out three times, because that's what he mentions the three. Right. Three times. And is it a chain lakol hechsher kli aser shu motor lachshiru biyom tov? Imu kuderech tashmishu shakli. Vahadlo akshi v'gemarav imanu mayim atshiyitzu shiru mibnei shein derech amadichan ladiach kain v'nir kimizakein b'chi hai have aser. I can't tell you very much. And he says, why didn't even the sheet in the Gemara just say, okay, so you can't bring it to the sink and wash it, but you could bring water to the cup and rinse it out. And he says, because then it really looks like you're koshering it. Right? Meaning, you don't, if you want to wash your dishes, you don't bring the soap and water to the table, right? You only do that if there's some weird halachic thing going on. You bring it to the sink. So the reason the Pshita and the Gemara thought it was usher is because of this. Okay, so that's just important to realize that all of this discussion, like all of our discussion about the nature of Graf Shalrei is important, but it only applies to something which is a Graf Shalrei. La halacha, it's not clear that the wine glass in our cup is a Graf Shalrei because it really does stand out as a different case than the classic case on Daf Lamed Vav. Okay. For the rest of what's on this page, we're moving away from our sugya, right? And we're just going to understand Graf Shalrei, because as the Rashba noted, our case of Graf Shalrei is not really a classic case of Graf Shalrei. It's not clear we paskin like it. But still, the principle that the Gemara introduces is important to understand because it will come up later. So just to see the basic sources on Graf Shalrei, let's just look at the Halacha Lamaisa, and again, we'll see this fundamental question that I mentioned before, which is, okay, once something is a Graf Shalrei, is it that it's still Mukta with some Haterim, or is it fully Mutter? So this is the description of Shulchan Aruch. Kol davar mitunav kigon, rei, viki, vitzoa, bein shal adam, bein shal tana, golem, anything disgusting, feces, vomit, whether it's human or animal, v'chayotu b'em and the like, im hayu b'chatsa shiyoshun ba, mutter lo tziyam la'ashra l'beis hakise. If it's in the room where you are hanging out, so then you're allowed to move it. Bafilu below clay, right, without a separate clay, just move it. V'imaya b'chatzar she'eno darsham, but if it's in the courtyard where you're not living, you're not hanging out, it's also allowed to see him, then you're not allowed to move it. Because again, the heter, to whatever extent there is a heter, is predicated on the assumption that you want to be here, it's preventing it. If it's not, right, the example I gave last week, right, if it's in the garage, if it's in your house, you can move it to the garage. If it's in the garage, leave it in the garage and don't move it. The only exception is that what happens if you have a toddler who's walking around and is going to walk into your garage? So then, he says, don't move it, but cover it. Right? Normally, we don't move things even to cover muktzah. Right? We don't move something, l'shem, something which is muktzah. But this will allow you to do. Right? If the Graf Shalrei, in its in the chatzer, in the courtyard, in the garage, and whatever, is going to cause problems, so you don't move it at that point, but you can cover it to prevent the child from getting to it. Okay. So, the few questions that we have to ask in Rav Shalrei l'halachal maisa, okay, how disgusting does it have to be? Right? And there's two possibilities. Subjective,
right,
or objective, or better, personal or universal. Right, it's probably better. Right? Meaning it's something that everyone finds disgusting or something that you find disgusting.
We're all these sinners today, isn't that the
what?
We're all these
right, but
today.
Even within that, right, certain people have higher tolerance than others. So which is it? So this was surprisingly, no one asked this question explicitly till the 20th century, because as history works, the Rishonim were much more comfortable with loose definitions, and the Acharonim, right, have an obsession with codifying things, which I identify with, but still, realistically, you look at the Rishonim, it doesn't have it. They presumably thought that a Graf Shalrei was a Graf Shalrei. If you ask them, what's a Graf Shalrei, they'll tell you, that thing, just disgusting, but okay. The Achronim asked a much more formal question. So Rosh Zalman in 14 is quoted in the Sefer Tutule Shabbos. He says, Shela, Begeder heter graf shel rei, heim nechon lomar, the kol shabala bayis u ishtom is bayishim pen yavo orchem v'yura da bayis bi isi, there yehimut lo talbim al shulchan klipos v'chadoma aho bishak klipos motem v'enam asrichem. Said, is it enough that it's something that people are embarrassed by? It's not disgusting per se, but it's something that this couple is embarrassed by, right? They have very high standards, right? The average person doesn't find it disgusting, maybe lo naim, but it's not disgusting. But these people are finicky, and they're really,
you
know.
Why don't you say it's covered in brios? They are misbayish by it, so they're.
So, I mean, that's what he's quite right, asking, meaning it's a subjective, right, at this point, standard. But it's not a bedpan. It's something which they find really disgusting and embarrassing, but it's not objective. So is it or is it not graf shel rei? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, Tshuva, im ze mishum ini mut, mistaber de mutter. Ki gam graf shel rei, gomer brak ini mut. He said, it's mutter, because it's subjective. What is graf shel rei? Graf shel rei is something which is grossly uncomfortable. If you find this really uncomfortable, then that's graf shel rei. The definition of graf shel rei is something that causes you distress, right? It's not just that it's disgusting, it's something that presence causes you distress. And that standard is subjective. Mm-hmm. And if for you it causes inimut, then that's it. Right? It's a subjective standard. Presumably he doesn't spell it out. The difference between muksa machmas mius and graf shel rei is muksa machmas mius is something you find disgusting, but doesn't necessarily cause you distress by its presence. Like, you don't want to have anything to do with it, but it doesn't cause you distress that it's here. And graf shel rei is something whose presence is bothersome, and that becomes mutter. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it's a subjective standard.
It's interesting, though, that it doesn't matter that it's the smell of the thing, it's if you're embarrassed by its
correct. Presence. Rosh Shlomo Zalman not only thinks it's a subjective standard, he thinks it's a remarkably loose subjective standard. And I would have said, I would have thought that even if it's, you know, something that's subjective, I'd have to say it's subjective that causes me disgust. Right? That's what graf shel rei sounds like. He says, no, the yisod of graf shel rei is that it causes distress by its presence rather than something I want to avoid. And therefore, even something that causes me embarrassment will be the same.
Well, that sounds like it's even less. I mean, it doesn't really bother them, but they're concerned if they have guests.
Okay, but that's distress. I mean, yes, if you want to say it's a third chiddush, right? It's distress only by context, because it sounds like if they were home alone, they wouldn't care.
Right.
Right? But if guests came, then it would cause distress, right? I mean, it's a triple-level chiddush. It's subjective, it's you only need ini imut, right? And that it's even contextual, subjective standard. Right, it's anything that will cause distress under the situation. That's Rosh Shlomo Zalman.
More than that, this pinyavo orfim, you just have to worry that the situation will evolve into something
different. Right,
perception that somebody else may find it offensive.
Right, so it's a Rosh Shlomo Zalman takes a very, as we see, loose, subjective standard, which basically rides on the principle that graf shel rei means anything that causes me distress in any way, rather than just something I want to avoid, is under the heter. Rav Moshe was asked this. Now this, again, so this is not printed in Negros Moshe, and the Tshuva of Rosh Shlomo Zalman is not quoted in Mincha Shlomo. The Sefer Tiltulei Shabbos, he asked Rav Moshe and Rosh Shlomo Zalman questions, and then he printed their answers. So he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman told him that. Rav Moshe, in 15, said something different. Mahu geder heter betolu graf shel rei? Ma chashuv graf shel rei? Vayim nitan eizah shiur bazeh? So he asked him, okay, what is a graf shel rei? Give me standards. Tshuva. Uveinyan hagdaras graf shel rei lo shayach liten shir ela talui lefi haadam v'chein talui b'im hu mifuzar daz havelei moz yoter umutar tal talo. So that, first of all, he also has a certain level of looseness on the standard, right? He says it has to be, it depends on the person, it depends on concentration, right? Because it's not just a disgusting object, right? It has to be that the act, that as it stands now, it is disgusting to you. Masha enkin im hu b'makom echad lavele kol kach maos az ein bo heter laharbe inshe aval im hu istenis mutter. Right? So he says again, it is Subjective. Subjective, right? Ramosha says it in a different way than Rosh Hashanah, not quite as extreme. But he says, if you're in this, it's mutter. Upam achar is his really maran shlita. Lobin and sheyeh mo'ez mamash. A different time, he said, doesn't even have to be disgusting at all. Elafilu ilo makbid al hadavar kol kach rach ishto makbid al zelzeh machmas orchem shevo levakrav chadom el chegan umetlototlo. And they said exactly right to Shlomo Zalman. Right? So he gives a similar, slightly different formulation. One time, he says, it has to be at least something you find disgusting. And then he said, no, it's not even something you find disgusting. It's someone in the house finds disgusting. So both Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman take the position that it is
subjective
at various levels of subjectivity.
So based on those two psaks, if you have seeds on the table and it bothers you or bothers your wife, would you be able to take them off even without putz? In other words, based on...
It sounds like, yeah, according to emotion or something, it sounds like it, right? That if it was really, really bothered you, right, then yeah. If you're a mafunak, and you're like, ugh, seeds, you know, germs, or whatever, then yeah, sounds like from them you can move it, right? And that's what it sounds like.
It could also be, you know, if you're a royalty or something like that, then
right.
Having...
I mean, or that's what he says, if you're an istinus, yeah.
I mean, an istinus, but it's the standard culture, you just don't leave seeds on the...
Right,
on
so the according table. To him, it sounds like you just, you know, take, you know...
So this is a real cool one.
Yeah, I mean, and both Ramosha and Shlomo Zalman go in that direction. No, he's actually really not. That's not even... He's not on this point. He's on another point. Okay. Okay. So that's the question of how do you define it. Both Ramosha and Shlomo Zalman say it's basically subjective. The next question is, okay, once something is a graf shel rei, is it mukta with certain heterim or not mukta at all? What the nafkamina going to be between those? Lidugma. Well, that, once it's out, you can't move it. But, like, let's say you had a guy over, right? You have the guy who's drinking the wine, right? Should you have the guy move it instead of you? I mean, is there any reason to have the guy do it over you? I mean, if it's mukta with a heter, then if you can lower the isser by doing amir l'nachri, or amir l'nachri and der rabbanan, you should do that. If you think it's not mukta at all, so then you don't have to do that. So this is a machlokes, the Chazon Ish and the Aruch HaShulchan. The Chazon Ish says... It is mutter l'chatchila. It's not mukta at all. Zeh. So near the maker of Torah's kelim she'atiru k'dam rin shavus davka chol gimel hutter graftu kli shem lach l'heter. Velo chashem mukta machmas miyus u'mashen kem ezeshu d'shmishu. He said, look, you would have thought that it's mukta machmas miyus, but it's not. Once we say it's mutter, it turns from being a kli shem lach l'iser to a kli shem lach l'heter. Done. Right? It's a kli shem lach l'heter. I mean, which it is, right? It's a bedpan. The only havamina is that it would be disgusting and be turned to mukta machmas miyus and therefore become aster. And he says, Graf Shel Rei teaches you. No, it doesn't. And therefore it is not mukta at all. Period. End of story. Once something is defined as Graf Shel Rei, however you got there, it is now mutter. It is not mukta. Period. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no. Says, pashut hu. Shem pashut. This is always fun, right? Ben Arsh liked saying this. Sometimes things become... you know, accepted in Achronim because no one bothered arguing on it before them. So they can say it's pashur and then everyone has to follow them. But, right, because no one bothered arguing on it before them because no one thought that you were going to say that. Pashtus in all the sugyas is that Graf Shel Rei is not mukta. That's what the Gemara says. And yet, the Aruch HaShulchan will see Rav Moshe Feinstein on this point agrees. I think that's not the case. The Graf Shel Rei is mukta with heterim, and he says, "Upashadu, she'im yachal lasu dein yehudi yasal yado. If you can do it through a guy, do it. V'chein mutav yidei katan mal yidei gadol. If you have the choice, use a child rather than an adult. V'atam shehutalo tzvi yadav. Said why? Because the reason we allowed you to carry it to gadol kavod abrios because of kavod abrios. V'chein imheim bimavui b'makom drisa regel masalkal itzdadin. And if you're in a mavo, you should just move it to the side. He said, how do I know that it's only a begrudging het there? Because we only allow you to do it where you are. Right? If it's in the chatzar where you don't use it, the or if it's in a garbage, so what's my proof that it is not fully mutter? It's mukta with heterim. Because we said, if the Chazon Ish is right, obviously this is anachronistic. But if the Chazon Ish is right that it's not mukta at all, so then why is it you're only allowed to move it to your garage, and then you can't move it from your garage box back to the house? If it's not mukta, it's not mukta in either direction. Right? So the Chazon Ish will tell you, no. For the heter to move it, it removes its mukta status. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no. The fact that you're only allowed to move it in one direction, you're only allowed to move it out, tells you it is mukta with certain heterim. If it's mukta with certain heterim, then if you can minimize the iser when you carry it, you can use a goy, you can use a katan, then we require you to do that. B'chen v'esaki say atzmo ma'makom shetarach leisha v'enonaki v'yir leisha sham mutl enakos ha'makom v'ma'makom eno ma'makom shiyoshim sham el shem isyari b'nei atinuk shalo yislach like lifnos da'im osur elmken al yedei ena yehudi achich ba'alav ha'kli. And he said the same thing, right, brings other cases, cleaning the bathroom, right, that would be mutter, if that's where you're actually sitting, or if it's a place where the kid would go, so then it's only a chash, so then you have a goy do it. But the Aruch HaShulchan fundamentally thinks, not like the Chazon Ish, that Grav Shel Rei is mukta, machmas mius, with a heter, and that's why we have all these limitations, and the more you can do to make it mutter, the better.
Is he saying that, his argument is that if it's another place, you can't move it, right? Like the Ashpa or the Beit HaKisa or whatever. But were we saying altogether the Grav Shel Rei is something a subjective situation?
Right, so presumably that's what the Chazon Ish is going to say. The Chazon Ish is going to say, no, it's not mukta as long as it's Grav Shel Rei. But once you moved it outside, it's not a Grav Shel Rei. And therefore, the reason you can't move it back is simply because it's not relevant anymore. The Aruch HaShulchan was saying, no, the fact that it's only one directional, if that's subjective, tells you that it's really mukta with certain heterim. Ramosha follows this as well in 18. He says, but he argues on one point. He says, "Hinei agam shetodek aruch hashulchan simen shin choches if samach shim yochol limnoa meatmal total graf shoraya de sheyasig nachri lazeh shenachon kach lasos." He said, "I agree fundamentally with the aruch hashulchan that it's mukta and you should avoid it. So use a guy. Mikom akam in the vakish mikatan lasos kach sheyesh lochu shakatan yitiv yachshu shemutal otaltal mukta dlok aruch hashulchan in a machalik meinachal katan." He says, "But I don't agree with the Aruch HaShulchan that using a child is a solution." Right? The Aruch HaShulchan said, since we want to avoid carrying the Grav Shel Rei, use either a goy or a katan. Rav Moshe says, no, you're allowed to use a goy, but you can't use a katan because then you're educated. It's bad chinuch, right? Because then you're teaching the katan that he's allowed to carry mukta. He's not allowed to carry mukta. He's not going to catch the fine distinctions that this is a Grav Shel Rei. So he says, fundamentally, I agree with the Aruch HaShulchan. It's just, I argue on that one point, That you of using the katan.
So it's better to use a person who's chai misses?
Yeah. Right?
Because he'll understand.
I mean, it's what the Rambam says by Pikuach Nefesh, right? That the way the Rambam formulates it, the reason you don't do it, even al yidei nashim muktanim, even though they're chai mitzvos or they're not chai mitzvos, is because you do it al yidei gedol yisrael v'chachamehen, right? Kedei shlo tal yishei shavas kalabeinehen, right? If the rabbi goes and does it, then you know it's mutter.
They use the word tinnik.
What?
They use the word tinnik. So how are you setting a bad precedent with a tinnik? I mean, they're pretty young in a situation like that, isn't it?
I mean, it's clearly someone who's old enough to carry.
It doesn't say tinnik.
No, he says katan. It's katan. Besides, it's someone who's carrying a bedpan. I don't know. Now here, it's a katan.
You won't give it to 2-year-olds.
Yeah. God almighty.
What's his answer? Okay, if something is relative and it's something that normally you would consider muksa, do they have to announce before they move it, this bothers me, and so, you know, it's relative to me that I'm moving it, but admit, you know.
He doesn't say.
Otherwise you're educating other people in the wrong way, because they may not know this halakha, and they...
I don't know if you'd be chayiv to, it might not be a bad idea, because of Marasayan. If it's someone who doesn't know the halakha, it might be better for Marasayan. But, this is a motion making an educational point, right, rather than a Grav Shel Rei point. Is just worth noting.
It's just the other just seems too lenient.
This
okay.
Is
no, obviously, I'm not really comparing to Mukhoi. I'm just making the same point that there, the reason we say it is
we want people to realize how important the thing it is to do. Here we don't want people to realize how important this thing is to Grav Shel Rei.
Okay, I'm using it as a weak mushel. The way the Rambam says is Shogde Shabbos Kalabeinayan, right? Because you don't want them to think of Shabbos lightly. Right, not just they want. It's not just you want to emphasize how important Pikuach Nefesh is. You don't want them to be mezalzel on Shabbos. Okay, just a few more points here. So if you look in 19 again from Moshe from Sefer Titulei Shabbos. So he says, "V'hizrili Dafabi Shalohu Bashar Poskim. So the Tiltulei Shabbos asked Ramosha, he said, I really don't get this. Meaning, if you're right, and the Aruch HaShulchan is right, why did nobody say this before? Right? My problem. Right? If it's so obvious, someone should have said it. His Afal Pi Shalohu Bashar Poskim. Komakum Asvara Mechayeves Kedivrei Aruch HaShulchan. The Heter Lital De Rav Sharei. Eino Begeder Heter Gamur. Rak De Chazal Hekilu B'Tiltulo. Machmas Diyef Shal L'Sheves B'Makom Mos. Said, you're right, nobody said it, but it must be, because I think that this is not a real heter, right? Ramosha is very straightforward. It follows naturally. If you think Graf Shalrei is not a full heter, it's a begrudging heter, it's not that you take away Mukta's heter, it's Mukta with a heter. So Ramosha said, no one said it, but I have no choice. If that's how I view it, that's how I view it. And this must be what comes out. Obviously, this is only if you have a guy. You don't have to go find one. There is a heter. But, so Ramosha's answer to no one said it is, okay. I don't know if that works for me. Pashto's like the Chazon Ish, that no one said it because it's fully mutter. Okay. Last 2 points. The Sefer Hilchos Mokta writes as follows. He says, Omnam Efshar Lomar, Degamal Yerabba Mo, the Begraf Shal Reisha, Asher Lesalko, Kisha Hayal Efsharot, Lahasiru Meir Shabbos. So another nafkamina might be, what if you could have moved it before Shabbos? Is it mutter to move it or not? So again, this seems to hang on that question. If you think it's not Mokta, so then even if you could have moved it Erev Shabbos, right, it was there in like 5 minutes before Shabbos. You could have moved it, but you were running out of the shul, so you didn't bother. So, if it's not mukta at all, so then you're allowed to move it. If it's mukta with a heter, so maybe we don't give you the heter. If you could have done it, erev Shabbos.
What we said with Chazon Ish is once it's only most because it, that makes it right. So in some ways, maybe he should have done it before. You know,
maybe he should have, but if he didn't, according to Chazon Ish, still, the fact is it's not mukta, right? Once it's a graf sharei, it's not mukta. So,
maybe wrong with that.
What? So he says that he thinks that Eliyahu Rabba would be moda, that it would be usher. Didavka bekut sheyesh hezek the rabim ain svar shachirim yinoz gemishum pshia so shalzeh. Aval graf sharei beveser deins and agol achirim galiyahu Rabba moda the usher lasiro. He said because there's a parallel. What he sees is a parallel case: is that there's a heter to move a thorn, which is in a rishus harabim on Shabbos, under certain circumstances, because people might get damaged. Even though you should do it before Shabbos, right? You see it erev Shabbos. If you didn't do it erev Shabbos, you're allowed to move
it
on. Right.
Say that it's not mukta. So
the Sefer Hilchos Mukta says he distinguishes. He said because what's going to be the consequences? Who's going to suffer if we don't permit it? If you were derelict in your responsibility to move the thorn from Rosh Hashanah before Shabbos, so you're not the only one who's going to suffer. Everyone's going to suffer, and that we can't do. We can't punish the Rabbim because of you. The Graf Sharei, so you'll have to smell it all of Shabbos. If you didn't want to do it Erev Shabbos, and it's a begrudging head there, then too bad, you'll suffer. But again, if you pass like a Chazon Ish, Pastik.
Well, if you're going to make a Knas out of it, maybe you can say it's part of the Chazon Ish.
Maybe, right? If you think it's Knas rather than it is, you know, Knas would be, it was mutter and I made it usur, right? The other way to say it was never really mutter, is that we have to actively dispense the heter and we're not giving it to you. You could, with the Chazon Ish, you're right, say Knas. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, on 21, he says, V'yesh le'stapik, v'graf shol reik, shayis ha'merav Shabbos, v'yachol ha'nakos, v'mel yom, shiyad l'shtarach l'eshev shom b'shabbos, v'mlo nikam v'mel yom, v'mutter l'nakos v'shabbos, v'mwarko chaval, v'mashal heter, d'dav kishnim to b'shabbos, The Aruch HaShulchan L'shitaso says the answer is if it was the Erev Shabbos, it's Aser. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan L'shitaso, that it's a begrudging heter, and that's why he thinks it's only by Goy, that's why it's only if it happened on Shabbos, not Erev Shabbos. Again, Pashtos, though, would be that the Chazon Ish would argue on this. Again, you could come up with a Knas, but not obviously, right?
But because how are you supposed to get this kind of thing? Is someone ignored that we go to Yom, or is it something made up themselves?
I mean, sometimes we have such Isurim by Erev Shabbos. The question is, would we apply it here? The Gemara never says it explicitly by Graf Shalrei. We have it by other cases. Okay. And again, so if you think that it's not Mukta at all, then you're not going to employ that. You're probably not going to create a Knas out of nowhere. If you think it's a begrudging heter, So then you don't have to create it out of nowhere. You need to prove to me that it's mutter rather than you need to prove to me that it's usser. So that's what I'm saying. According to Chazon Ish, there's not mukta at all. Presumably, you'd say, you have to prove to me it's usser. You haven't done it. It's mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan will tell you, you have to prove to me it's mutter. And it's not. You could have done an Erev Shabbos.
So by the millstone, right? Rubber and all those, you know, he should have done something before if he knew that it was going to get rain.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like he knew. No. It sounds like it was raining.
If he did, then he wouldn't be able to do anything.
That's what it sounds like, according to the Aruch HaShulchan.
But according to the Chazon Ish,
presumably
mutter.
Presumably
mutter. Really?
Presumably. I think so.
There probably not very many cases.